I'm going to start just a little bit sooner in the scripture lesson than what we're going to have on the screen, so it's going to be just a bit confusing for a minute. We're going to be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. 20 verses is a lot to put in your bulletin, so we started at verse 7 there. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroboam, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. And year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests to the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her so, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you so downhearted? Do I not mean more to you than 10 sons?" Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up, and now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the house of the Lord. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow that day, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Don't take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and my great grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you whatever you've asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then they went back to their home. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I ask the Lord for him." May God have the blessing to the reading of his word and grant us understanding today in our hearing. Let's pray together. Father, in the next few moments, we're coming before you to hear a word from you. Lord, we know the scripture is powerful with what you've done in Hannah's life. And Lord, may we see some of the things you can do in our lives, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. "Watch out for Heather Dornaiden," Heather heard the announcer say. "Yeah, watch out for Heather," she thought, as she rounded the corner of the final lap of her race. Three runners loomed out far in front of her, too far to even catch with a heroic last kick, or at least so the crowd thought. Not Heather, not the announcer, and certainly not her parents or the home team fans in the stands either. Cheers roared for this unlikely contender in what would become one of the most historic races of all times, viewed millions of times over the years. It's not that Heather wasn't an excellent runner to begin with. She was, in fact, a high school all-state runner 5 times in a row, running now on a track scholarship at the University of Minnesota. Heather had been a favorite to claim the title of the 600-meter in the 2008 Big Ten Championship her junior year in college. She's slated to be the winner. That is until she tripped and fell down. Partway through the race, Heather's feet tangled with another runner, sending her sprawling headfirst out onto the track. Now, this wasn't just some little trip where she fell and just snapped right back up and ran. She actually fell and slid on her belly several meters before she stopped. She was the leader of the race at the time. She didn't just bounce back up. No, Heather skidded so far on the track that after the race, they saw the marks of the burn of the track on her stomach. She lay there for what seemed like seconds. No one thought that anybody could ever win a race after falling like that, or could they? To Heather, it didn't matter that she'd fallen. It mattered that her teammates were depending upon her because they were slated to win the 2008 Big Ten Championship for their women's team. And she did not want to let her friends down and her teammates down. So she snapped back up. No fall was going to be the finish of her junior year. So she decided to finish the race. She'd gone from the lead to now trailing in the race by 30 meters. By the time she got back up on her feet, and she did what no one else did before her, she caught back up to all the runners ahead of her, all of them. About midway down the back stretch, she passed the first of the three runners in front of her, and cheers from the crowd grew thunderous in nature, urging her to do the impossible. Rounding the back corner on the final stretch, Heather then hit a gear she didn't even know she had, propelling her past another runner. With only one more to catch and a final lunge near the finish, Heather reclaimed the lead, finishing first in the race. Heather's collegiate track team would go on to clinch the Big Ten championship after all. But Heather did more than clinch the championship that day. Rather than staying down, she decided to get back up, inspiring a world to realize is that if you fall in your life, you don't have to stay down. You can get back up and still finish. She says this after the race. She says, it's something that's completely unexplainable to me besides a higher power. She would say, I felt like the Lord just filled me up and gave me the opportunity to show something amazing, that amazing things can happen through Him. That's pretty amazing, wouldn't you say? Amazing things indeed. Ephesians 3:20 says this, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than you can ever ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us. Think about what I just told you. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all you can ever ask or imagine, according to the power that of Him that is at work in us. God has more power than your human inconsistencies and failures. God has more power than all of your shortcomings and all of your falling downs. Here's the thing about God I keep on hearing over and over again is that God is the God of the second chance. And I believe that, amen, don't you? But He's the God of the third chance, the fourth chance, and the fifth chance too. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen away or how many times you've fallen down, God is going to be there to help you get back up again. The woman in our passage of Scripture this morning never ran a track meet. Hannah never ran like Heather, but she was in a similar situation. She truly longed for something in her heart that seemed so out of the ordinary that it would never be able to be accomplished. Hannah found herself outpaced on the race in her life that mattered to her most, and that was the race to her family. Her husband's other wife had already borne him children, but Hannah had no children. We know that Hannah's husband loved her dearly. We see that when he gave away the portions of the meat, and I know that's confusing for some people, when they went to the temple, it was traditional to give meat and bring it as an offering to the Lord in the temple. So he would give Peninnah her offering and some for her children, but to Hannah, he gave even more than he gave to Peninnah because he loved her that much, even though her womb was closed. Yet even with her husband's love, children during this time period secured a legacy for a family, and it was something that weighed so heavy upon Hannah that she was sick over it. Children were an essential part of life. At his parents' age, there was no nursing homes, right? Who was going to take care of Hannah in her old age? It's likely that Elkanah would pass away before her, and then who would Hannah have? No one. Hannah's rival enjoyed witnessing her defeat over and over and over again. Let me just tell you about haters real quick. Every person in here is going to have a hater from time to time. Amen? There's going to be someone that looks at you and would rather you fall down and never get back up again. There's going to be somebody that consistently looks at you and throws all kinds of negativity your way and would rather see you defeated. Amen? The biblical truth bears that out too. You can take that home. There's going to be haters in your life. There are going to be people who don't want you to succeed. That's just part of life. You're going to have to hear things you don't want to hear. They're going to try to hit the buttons that they alone know that you have, the ones that are in secret that hurt the most. Do you have some of those buttons? Most of us do. She enjoyed witnessing the defeat of her rival over and over and over. Her rival would not be considered a good sport on today's field of play. She was a bully who taunted Hannah regularly, and we read her rival, however, provoked her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year after year. Hannah was in a desperate situation, wouldn't you think? And not only that, her struggle went on not just for a few minutes, not just for one race, but for years her struggle was there. There's something about a prolonged crisis that can throw your world upside down. Amen? If you've had a crisis for more than just a minute, if you have a crisis for an extended period of time, it's like going to the doctor's office knowing that you're there on time, and the people who have appointments after you, they keep getting in and getting in and getting in, and you're still waiting, right? For something to break through for you when it's breaking through for everybody else, you can't understand why it's not your turn yet. And those around you don't really seem to care. Hannah had a pretty big problem in her day. She couldn't get pregnant. And it turns out that Hannah's physical limitation came with a God-sized promise eventually. Not right when she wanted it, but eventually it happened. See, here's the thing about Hannah. Even though that she didn't see God or feel God or experience God in her life the way that she wanted to, did she stop going to the temple? Did she stop going to the place where she knew God was at? No, she went there even more so and prayed even more passionately and even more earnestly that God would do something for her. Amen? I mean, she wanted God to interact with her, to change her, to make this situation that didn't seem possible to become possible. Don't let some kind of emptiness in your life stop you from seeking a connection with God. And I don't know what emptiness it is that you might have right now in your life, but don't let that place in you stop you from connecting with a God that can change everything. Amen? It's easy to get let down in your mind to know things in your life aren't necessarily going the way that you want them to, and to stop seeking the very source that can actually change it all. Hannah hung in there, waiting for God to change and to come. Then that day, Hannah broke down before God in desperation, and she wept bitterly. See, desperate times call for desperate measures, and she made a decision in that moment to give back that which she wanted most to God. That sounds crazy, right? That sounds countercultural. That sounds kingdom things, right? It sounds like it's backwards, and only God could cause someone who wants something so bad to say, if you give it to me, I'll have it but for a moment, but it'll be yours. She said, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I'll give him back to the Lord all the days of my life. Hannah had been praying to get pregnant for years, but this time her prayer took on a whole new intensity. Her desire for a child was so strong that she's willing to let go of the thing she wanted most if she could just have him for a little while. Even her demeanor reflected a woman that's distressed with grief. As Hannah was praying there, she was praying so earnestly that Eli mistakes her for someone who's come into the temple drunk. He says to her, how long are you going to be partaking in this much wine? That was his question to a woman that was praying so earnestly. She said, no, Lord, I'm a woman of oppressed spirit. I have not drunk wine or any other strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord today. Don't consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. In that moment, the priest, Eli, heard more than just Hannah's words. He began to hear her heart for the first time. Amen? I mean, he's seen what was going on, but yet when he got connected with what truly was in Hannah's heart in that moment, and he believed her, he blessed her, and he told her that God would give her the child that she longed for. And in fact, he didn't even know that she's longing for a child, did he? Because he never heard the words. What he says is that God will answer whatever prayer that you prayed in this manner, God will answer it, go and be blessed. That's what he said. So she went away in that moment no longer sad. Her countenance changed because she believed in the promise that she'd received even though it hadn't occurred yet. Think about that. She believed in the promise she'd received even though it hadn't happened yet. And the next two things that Hannah does shows me that she truly had faith in God. And what does she do first? She goes back and she gets some food and she eats, right? Up until this point, she hasn't been eating because she's so internally sad that she cannot bring herself to eat. So she began to eat at that moment. Her sadness is turned into confidence, and she begins to regain her strength. The next thing that she does is she's intimate with her husband. Because I can imagine up until this point, intimacy with her husband has been something that she entered into with shame and regret. Amen? But in that moment, she entered into an intimate relationship with her husband again because she believed in faith that God was going to make good on the promise she received. We far too often think that we're waiting on God to act when God is actually waiting on us to act. You know, we think that we should be getting a lightning bolt in the backside experience, right? That God is all of a sudden going to do something and you're just waiting on Him to make it happen. But a lot of times, the power to answer some of the things that are going on in your life, they rest in you. And you taking a step of faith, washing your face and moving forward, eating the food, being intimate with your husband, doing what she needs to do to keep up her end of the faithful bargain and the promise that God had given to her. Had Hannah not been intimate with her husband, she would have never gotten pregnant. Had Heather denied and not gotten back up from the track, she would have never knew if she could win or not. In fact, as Heather neared her 30s, she still raced even despite her age, which is very difficult to do in track and field. She even made the USA national team for the indoor world championships. Hers was an unlikely bid at the age of 31, but she kept training and she eventually made it. Here's what she says about that. She said, "I've been relying on the Lord's plan, but it doesn't imply a lack of action on my part, but rather an openness for His infinite power, His strength and courage, and His grace to work through me. I tend to approach every race with confidence and purpose, clothed in the armor of Christ. I will perform to the best of my ability with trust that this is all part of a plan that's much bigger than me, and I am not alone." The thing is, Heather's win was much bigger than her, wouldn't you say? Hannah's pregnancy was much bigger than her. And when you and I get up from a failing of some kind, it's much bigger than us. It shows other people, it's a witness to our faith that God is not just going to keep us down, and if we're down, we're not going to stay down, we're going to get back up, we're going to stay with God because God's plan for our life is greater than any plan that we could ever come up apart from Him. See, faith is a participatory sport. It's not just something you can do by sitting on the sidelines of life. Faith means acting as if God is telling you the truth, even when you can't see the solution to the problem yet. Tony Evans says this. He says, "Faith is acting like something is so, even though it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God says so." I like that. Faith is acting like something is so, even though it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God says so. If you feel like your life has been paused right now, don't give up. If you've yet to receive an answer for prayer that you've been praying for a lot of years, don't stop trusting God. God had a special plan for Hannah's child, her firstborn child, Samuel. He would go on to be an instrumental prophet to the Israelites, influencing generations to come. This passage of Scripture, Luke 6:38, says this, "Given it will be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured unto you." Notice the word "it" in this verse. That's a powerful two-letter word. Whatever you're asking God to give to you, give it to Him. Hannah wanted a child, so she gave a child to God. Abraham wanted the promise of a legacy, so he gave his son to God. Are you struggling to find a friend? Then go give yourself in friendship to somebody who's in need, someone in a nursing home or someone who's a shut-in. Go give of yourself to them. Are you struggling financially? Then be as generous as you can be to the needs of those around you. When you step out in faith, you're demonstrating that you have a belief in God and that God is going to come through for you. You're operating in faith when you can't quite see the circumstances coming to a conclusion. And the interesting thing about Hannah, you know that Samuel wasn't her last child, right? It says a little bit later in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "Hannah conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters after that. Hannah got the blessing of a whole household of children, all for giving back to God what she most wanted." Think about that. What is it in your life right now that's causing you and keeping you from being who God wants you to be? What is it that you need to earnestly pray about that God can intervene in the situation and set you free from? Maybe you've been falling down too much and you don't know how to get back up. Get back up and go the direction. Run with reckless abandon toward God, and because God is already running toward you. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we lift up our hearts to you. God, we know that as we look at the scripture and the passage about Hannah, we can see that sometimes we don't pray the way Hannah does. Lord, I pray that you'll help us pray earnestly for the things our heart longs for. Lord, help us also to be in alignment with the witness of who you want us to be. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Will you please stand and sing together?